This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. Very happy to be with you today. I certainly am. As we like to say around here, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. We want to be glad and happy in the Lord. So many blessings He bestows upon us in ever so many ways. And even those things that we would look at and say, is that really a blessing, Lord? The fact of the matter, it is. And then why is that? Because He is in all things. And so we ask God for continued opportunity to see Him at work in our lives and to give Him praise and glory for all of that. So happy to be with you today. So much to tell you about, and we're going to get to that in just a moment. But let me remind you that we're here for you. We enjoy hearing from you. We certainly do. We are ready to receive your call today with your question or comment. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us right here on Women of Grace Live, where we love to have that holy conversation with you. We invite you, of course, to use that number whenever we are on the air with you so that we can take your questions and comments and also hear your insights and your inspirations. You know, as I tell you so very frequently, you know, we're here together and God's put us together for a very real reason. And that is because He desires that we be secondary instruments in the lives of each other. You know, God works through His people. We are His people. He works through each one of us. And so we like to make use of that opportunity right here on Women of Grace Live. Another way that you can join us today is by going out to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. We've got a chat feature at each one of those social media sites. Put in your question or comment there. We'll get it retrieved and up on the board. We have got Pedro Quiles doing the retrieving, Matthew Gubensky out there on the phones, Vanessa Sanchez, our producer, producing the program today. When you call in today, you know, just give a howdy hey to Vanessa. We're so happy that she is with us. So all of those beautiful, beautiful ways we are available to you. We have one other one. You can text us, text your message or text your message to these letters, EWTN. Well, let me restate all of that. EWTN 58177. So text the letters. There we go. EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response and then put in your question or comment. Tell us who you are, where you are, and how it is that you're listening to us. And we're going to get that message retrieved and up on the board. Do know that message and data rates may apply if you choose to use that option. Well, I am freshly home. I'll tell you what, it's been a very busy time. This month of May has been an unbelievably busy time for me, and I have been out and about and flying here and flying there and experiencing all kinds of different things. I have just come back from St. Louis, Missouri. We were there for the 26th annual Marian Conference, and what a conference it was. There were 1,250 people there. That is a big crowd, folks. I'm just telling you, that's a big crowd. It was a beautiful crowd of people, all eager to receive more of the graces that God wanted them to receive by way of our Blessed Lady. Marvelous speakers were there. I was just so happy to be speaking with Father Donald Calloway, Father Ken Geraci, Monsignor Eugene Morris. I was there with Annie Carto. There was so many wonderful people. Nikki Kingsley was there. I was one of the speakers. It was just a marvelous event. An absolutely marvelous event. And I had such fun talking to all of the attendees, of course, but even the exhibitors as well. Enjoyed talking with all of those who come to these events to offer us, you know, goods that we can purchase that help for us to live the abundant life and to share that abundant life with others. So I just want to give a big shout out to Ramona and Rolando, who have been so faithful in putting these conferences on for all of these years. Thank you very, very much for your invitation. If you happen to be at this event and you want to share your experience with everybody, do give us a call here. We are eager to hear from you and would love to see how it is that the Lord blessed you through this event. So Jack and I got home last evening very late. You can maybe hear that in my voice a little bit, but I'll tell you, it it was just a marvelous event. We love these opportunities. You know, we really do. These opportunities to come together in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ are so very important. And we remember what Jesus tells us in sacred scripture, that when two or three are gathered in his name, he is there in their midst. And that is the fact of the matter. So I want to encourage you, when you have an opportunity to go to a conference, to go to a retreat in your area, or even if you have to travel to one, make use of that opportunity. These are golden opportunities. I mean, it's really heaven knocking at the door of your heart saying, hello, let us in. We'll come in this way, please. You know, it's a beautiful experience. And we've got some beautiful events that are coming up for you. We certainly do. I am very, very excited about this. Today is May 20th. Beginning tomorrow, we have an online study, Mary Through the Eyes of the Mystics. This is the second installment in our Moments with Mary study series. And I am so thrilled. I actually got the hard copy of this at the event that I was at there this past weekend in St. Louis. My dear friend and a fellow laborer in the field, one of our employees for Women of Grace, Denise McCain, was with me, and she brought me this study, and we offered them for sale. Lots of women purchased them. I'm hoping that they're all signing up for this online study, and we hope that you will too. And it's really not too late to sign up for this. I mean, we can get that study book out to you. I'm certain that we can get it out to you within a week. And the study session tomorrow night is really the introductory session. So I'm hoping that you'll join us for this beautiful, beautiful study on our Blessed Mother. It's a glorious opportunity for you to deepen your relationship with the Blessed Virgin Mary and to discover her powerful role in salvation history, but, you know, her powerful role in your salvation history. And we're going to be looking at this through the eyes of the mystic saint. So it's a beautiful study. Very happy about that. June 7th, I am going to be in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, well, right outside in Charleroi, PA, at St. Andrew the Apostle Catholic Church there. We are going to be holding a one-day Pentecost event. Please, if you're in that area or anywhere near that area, sign up and join us. It's going to be beautiful. We are going to be learning more about the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, how it is that we open ourselves more and more to the direction and guidance and spiritual gifts that the Spirit of the Living God wants to bring to us, how it is that our Blessed Mother wants to facilitate that process in our life. It's just going to be a beautiful time. All of the information is available for you, as well as registration opportunity, at our website, womenofgrace.com. As a matter of fact, you can register for any of the opportunities that are coming up that we are participating in or that we are holding ourselves. So I'm very, very eager for you to take a look at that. We've got an online retreat coming up for our young women of grace, the Eucharist and the Sacred Heart of Jesus on June the 13th, and ever so much more. And we want to share with you about all of these things on the other side of the break. But I want to hear from you, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us right here on Women of Grace Live, where we love having that holy conversation with you. Do join us that way, or go out to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel or Facebook page. Leave your question or comment for us in the chat feature there. Yep. Mm-hmm. We'll get it retrieved and we'll be able to have that holy conversation together. Looking forward to hearing from you on the other side of the break. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. We are coming right back. Fill up our lines. Make me happy. God bless. We'll be right back.
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Everybody, you're listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. So very happy to be with you today. I certainly am glad that we have this opportunity to have holy conversation together. And that's just what I'm hoping we're going to have. And the way that we do that is when you call in. Here is your toll-free number, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live, where, as I say, we do love having that holy conversation with you. In addition addition to calling us, you can also join us via social media. Get out there to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and or Facebook page and use the chat feature there. Put in your question or comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement. Pedro Quiles will get it collected and put it up on the board there. If you're out there, you can see me and I'm waving to you saying, good morning, how are you? Another way that you can join us too is by texting the letters EWTN to 58177. That's EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response. Put in your question or comment. Do know that message and data rates may apply if you choose that option. Oh, yes. And please do let us know who you are, where you are, and how it is that you are listening to us. So, you know, this event that I was at this past weekend, and by the way, if you were there and you want to call in and share with us about your experience, that's a great thing to do. You know, I spoke about our Blessed Mother. And of course, you know, I love to talk about Our Lady. I certainly do. And it was very easy to talk about her because the theme was, in the end, My Immaculate Heart Will Triumph. And so I looked at that in a variety of ways with the people. The second talk was really on the rosary, and I incorporated the scapular into it. The first one was really, you know, about this whole notion of our Blessed Mother being, you know, our advocate, you know, leading us and guiding us in the way in which we should go, and this Blessed Mother of ours desiring to take us to her Son. And you know, that is the role of Our Lady. It is the role of our Blessed Mother. Our Blessed Mother's role is to bring Jesus Christ to the world and the world to Jesus Christ. That's been her role from the moment that she was conceived in the womb of Saint Anne. But in the mind of God, it was Our Lady's role from all eternity. And, you know, we talk about faith, and I spoke about faith in that first talk. We don't always understand what God is doing. It's not always clear to us. We live in the mystery of the reality of God, right? We live in the mystery. It's not a mystery that we solve, you know. It's a mystery that we dwell in. It's a mystery that continues through the provocation of God and the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit to be made manifest to us, but also to be comprehensible to us on some level, maybe not intellectually, but at least in our soul. So it's a mystery that we're to dwell in, and the mystery of God, which is meant to dwell in each one of us. And I love to think about this in reference to our Blessed Mother, because truly she is the perfect creature. Now, Jesus is true God and true man. Mary is not true God and true woman. Mary is pure creature. She is like you and me, except that she was preserved from the stain of original sin. And of course, that is what made her the suitable vessel for the God-man to come into the world. But not only that, she became, for the God-man, our Lord Jesus Christ, she became his flesh, in the sense that, you know, biologically, she is the natural parent of him. There is no man that is involved in the coming of our Lord. It is Our Lady and the Holy Spirit. And so you might even say that Jesus Christ, in a very direct way, is dressed in the flesh of Our Lady. But what about this lady? What about our mother? Because she was preserved from the stain of original sin, you know, was there nothing more that was required of her? In other words, was there an act of the will that had to be engaged to fulfill God's desire for her, God's purpose and mission for her? And the answer to that is absolutely yes. You know, just because Our Lady was preserved from the stain of original sin, knew no concupiscence, the devil never had a hold on her in any way, shape, or form, just because of that doesn't mean that God's action, that which he wished to exact through her, it's not to say that did not require her cooperation. It did. And so, you know, that's when the angel Gabriel comes and says, "Hail, full of grace. Hail, que keratomene. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb." You know, and goes on and tells her that she's being called to be the mother of the God-man. And heaven's waiting for a response from her. This is the announcement, but the announcement needs a response. And she gives fiat to that. She gives fiat. And as I've often expressed to you in the past, we don't have a good definition for fiat. There's no, you know, equatable word in our language. Our language is so impoverished. Fiat is far more than yes. Fiat is a total surrender. It's a giving over of everything, whether our Blessed Lady understood it all or not. She does remark, "How can this be since I do not know man?" And implicit in that question is the fact that she never intended to know man in the carnal sense, through the conjugal embrace. She never intended to. She had made, you know, a consecration of herself and her virginity to God. And Joseph was well aware of that. We know that that had to be the case. He was well aware of that. And he, as so many of the theologians have speculated, also had made a beautiful consecration of his virginity to God. So they were going to live in a very unique husband-wife relationship, one that was full of love, but one that would preserve the integrity of their being for God alone. And so that question of hers is not an impertinence. It's not a disbelief. It's a question that is begging to know, how can this be? And then the angel says, well, the Holy Spirit will overshadow you, and the power of the Most, how was it? The Holy Spirit will overshadow you. The power of the Most High will come upon you. And she knows what's being said there because she knows about the Shekinah glory, and she knows how it is that God's worked through his prophets in the past. But she doesn't clearly understand, well, I don't get how this is going to, you know, affect the fact that my womb is going to contain Emmanuel, the Messiah. But she says yes anyway. She gives that fiat to God. Be it done unto me according to thy word. Fiat mihi is the translation. What faith it takes, right? What faith it takes. And it takes a great humility because she could not understand how this could possibly be the case for her. But Our Lady was living pure faith in God. Pure, absolute faith and trust in God, in spite of the fact that she didn't understand. Father Gabriel of St. Mary Magdalene speaks about this in his beautiful work, Divine Intimacy, and this is in Meditation 177, where he's talking about Mary's faith. And he says, sometimes in our spiritual life, we come to a halt because we insist on understanding and searching into God's plans for our soul. He says, a faithful soul, on the other hand, does not linger to inquire about God's actions, even though not necessary. This is pleasing to God, who does not ask us to understand, but only to believe with all our strength. You know, it's an interesting thing what Father Gabriel of St. Mary Magdalene is indicating to us here. Sometimes, you know, we have this near morbid curiosity about our spiritual growth and our spiritual life. Where am I? You know, am I in the purgative stage? Am I in the illuminative stage? Am I entering into the unitive stage? Am I in the dark night of the senses? Am I in the dark night of the soul? Where am I? And, you know, it's kind of like rummaging around in an area that does not require our investigation. That area, our spiritual life, requires our faith and our trust, as opposed to our curiosity and our investigation. It requires what was required of Our Lady, a complete and total surrender, a fiat. Let it be done. Let it be done unto me. You know, recently in my life of prayer, a phrase came into my mind as I was looking once again to Our Lady, the great exemplar that we have, the only perfect creature who fulfilled God's will perfectly and gives us good guidance on how we can strive to perfectly fulfill God's will. And, you know, I was meditating again on the scene of the Annunciation, but doing so, you know, with the intention of just being open to the mystery of it, however God would work that mystery in my own life, the coming of the Spirit of the living God into my own life. And this phrase came into my mind, and it's one I'm going to talk over with my spiritual director: receptive passivity. Receptive passivity. I think that that is the stance of the soul before God, a faithful soul. That is its stance, a receptive passivity. You know, we think about passivity and we say, oh, passive, you know, doing nothing. That is not what passivity means in the spiritual life. A passivity in the spiritual life means an absolute openness of heart, mind, and spirit. It's a giving over. It's the gift of self. And the gift of self is not without, a definitive movement of the soul. But it's a passivity that's moving in the direction of receptivity, of receiving. And just think about receiving any gift, you know? Receiving any gift requires an open hand, doesn't it? That's the indication of the willingness to accept what's going to be given, right? An open hand, right? And it's the same in the spiritual life. We're not doing the action. That's what makes it passive. We're receiving it. Something is being done unto us as it was done unto Our Lady. But Our Lady's stance before God was always one of receptivity, one of always an open-handedness. We'll put it a different way, an open-souledness. Her soul was always open before God, always open. Even when she was about the daily duties of her life, her soul was open to the movement of grace that God would bring through the ordinary and not so ordinary experiences, circumstances of her daily living. And if we truly want to grow in the spiritual life, that has got to be our attitude of heart, mind, and soul. A receptive passivity to the movement of God in our lives. A complete giving over without this desire to go digging into it all, trying to figure it out. What a futile effort that is. We'll never figure out the way in which God works. Oh, we'll get little insights and little lights along the way. And he gives us these, you know, I would compare it to a mother bird feeding her fledglings, you know, feeding those little ones that are in her nest. You know, she just brings just the right amount of the worm to put into their mouths. She doesn't take the whole worm and stick it down their gullet, you know. In most cases, what does she do? You know, she takes that little bit of worm into her own beak, into her own mouth, and she begins to, you know, chew it, to masticate it, and then she gives it to them, right? She gives it to them so that they can digest it. And God will give us little lights like that to the extent that we can digest them, spiritually digest them, right? And he presents them just the way, you know, he works on them, just to get them to where they need to be. To match where we are in our capacity, to be able to receive it. But we'll never have it fully figured out. We're not going to have it figured out here. We're not going to have it figured out in eternity. It's a futile effort. We are wasting spiritual energy in that pursuit. The spiritual energy should be spent on this receptive passivity, more and more opening ourselves up to the movement of God's life in ours, the God life taking up residence within us, territory by territory, bit by bit, right? Until hopefully at some point in time, he owns all of our heart, all of our heart. And then we shall certainly be reflective of the fullness of grace of Our Lady. We won't have that fullness of grace because we're still going to suffer with concupiscence. There's no question about that, but we'll grow in that fullness of grace that God wants us to know. Notice the word that Father Gabriel uses. He says, sometimes in our spiritual life, we come to a halt. A halt? What is a halt? Halt means stop, right? We come to a stop. We come to a standstill. We stop growing. And you know that when a piece of fruit stops growing and it grows ripe, the next step after ripe is rotten. So we never want to be halting in our spiritual life. He says, what's causing that halt? We come to a halt because we insist on understanding and searching into God's plans for our soul. Stop it. That's what Father Gabriel is saying. Stop it. Don't do that. Those ways of God that we are meant to know, God will surely reveal. He will let us know. Until then, we move in faith, not by sight. We move by trust, not by understanding. So, I don't know. That's what I wanted to share today, I guess. I hope it's what God wanted me to share. Why don't you respond? 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us via phone call. Matthew Gubinski will take your call and put it up on the board. Pedro Quiles is with us now, and he is going to receive your questions and comments out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. We're coming right back. Stay with us.
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnette Williams. Happy to be with you today. I am eager to hear from you. The phone lines are open, and I'm sitting here waiting for you. All of the lines are available to you right now. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Eager for you to punch in those numbers so we can have some holy conversation together. We're talking about faith. We're talking about trust. We're talking about the Blessed Mother. We'll talk about any topic that is of interest to you. We also are available for you at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Pedro Quiles will collect your question or comment that you leave for us in the chat feature there, and he'll get it up on the board. And we'll also get your text message up there too. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. That's EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response and then put in your question or comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement. We'll get it and we will put it up there and I will respond. Yes, I will. And again, we are eager to hear from you. If you want to text us, text the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response and put in your, tell us who you are, where you are, and how you're listening. Put in your comment. Don't forget about that. And then do know that message and data rates may apply if you choose that option. So we're talking about faith. And, you know, it's very difficult to live by faith. Nobody ever said it was going to be easy. And I was thinking this morning in my time of prayer about the fact that, you know, God will always test our fidelity. It's going to happen. Anytime that we set out to serve the Lord, and we serve the Lord by serving the purpose for which he created us. And what is the purpose for which he created us? What is our primary fundamental vocation? We should know this because it's given to us in the documents of the Second Vatican Council, and John Paul II repeats it in Christus Fidelis Laici, and we know it from Scripture. What is our primary fundamental vocation? It's holiness of life. That's the primary call and mission that is ours. I mean, we've got secondary vocations and we've got professions and we've got all of those things. But our vocation, you know, our vocational path, and by that I mean the state in life to which God calls us, whether we're single, whether we're married, whether we're a religious, whether we're a religious and a priest, or whether we're a diocesan priest, the fact of the matter is that vocation is the means that God wants to use to perfect us. Right? To perfect us. And just think about that. Perfecting. What does perfecting indicate in and of itself? Perfecting indicates the fact that we need purified. And so that's going to require that opportunity to say yes to God in ways that are difficult, in ways that we don't understand. Dying to self. Also being put to the test, the trials and tribulations that come our way by way of the vocation, by way of the natural circumstances that take place in life, in our current day and time, all of these things. But it requires faith, right? And sometimes, like I was saying a little bit earlier on, all that we want to do is to try to kind of like, you know, rummage around, you know, in a more esoteric way, as opposed to a faith-filled way. And here's what Father Gabriel writes again, and we're looking at Meditation 177 in Divine Intimacy. He says this, and this is, again, you know, I mean, this is just, you know, I don't even know what to say. Our Blessed Mother is so wonderful. She constantly is teaching us by her witness and example. But I do want to tell you this, that if you ask our Blessed Mother, she will come in and she will really take you by the hand and lead you into this relationship with her son. She truly will. Okay, so he writes this, Father Gabriel does. It would be very far from the truth to think that the divine mysteries were so revealed to Mary and the divinity of Jesus was so evident to her that she had no need of faith. Isn't that interesting? Our Blessed Mother looks at her little boy, Jesus, and she's saying, I don't think there's anything very different from him than the other children on the block here, right? And so Father Gabriel is saying that Mary continued to need faith. He says, accepting the Annunciation and the events surrounding the birth of Jesus, we do not find any extraordinary manifestations of the supernatural in her life. Mary lived, he writes, by pure faith, trusting in God's word, even as we must. He says, the divine mysteries which took place in her and around her remained habitually hidden under the veil of faith, assuming an outward appearance common to the various circumstances of ordinary daily life. Hence, they were often concealed under obscure, disconcerting aspects, such as the extreme poverty in which Jesus was born, the necessity of fleeing into exile in order to save him, the King of Heaven, from the wrath of an earthly king, the toil undergone to procure for him the strict necessities, and the lack of even these, perhaps. Yet Mary never doubted that this weak, helpless child who needed her maternal care and protection, just like any other child, was the Son of God. She always believed, even when she did not understand. She always believed, even when she did not understand. Oh, gracious. How quick we sometimes are to throw in the towel because we do not understand. I don't understand, Father God, how if you love me, you could allow this to happen. I don't understand, Father God, why it is that you allow me to not get that promotion I want at work. I don't understand, Father God, why it is that everything is so difficult for me. I don't understand, Father God, why it is that I haven't found my husband or my wife. I don't understand, Father God, and I don't understand enough that I don't believe anymore. Oh, my goodness sakes. We give up the pearl of great price because we don't understand, as if we could ever understand the workings of God. If Mary, our mother, preserved from the stain of original sin, did not understand everything that was going on, you think we're going to understand? That's foolhardy, a little crazy, and may I say, lacking in faith, lacking in trust. Faith, firm assurance in things hidden. That's my acronym for it. Firm assurance in things hidden. You don't need faith if the thing isn't hidden. Trust, true resolve under severe testing. True resolve under severe testing. Let's get to Billy. Billy is out there, first-time caller from New Orleans, Louisiana, and I'm ringing my first-time caller bell for you, Billy. Good morning to you.
How you doing?
I'm just dandy.
I'm just wondering, you know, I'm praying the rosary every day. I say the chaplet at 3 o'clock. You know, I try to go to Mass as much as possible every day that work allows me to go to work, to go to Mass. And I'm praying to be filled with love. I don't even know what love is sometimes, but I'm praying the rosary, and I've got in my mind things that Protestants have told me, and I've defended Mary when they say, y'all pray to Mary. And I said, and we ask Mary's intervention. We don't actually pray to her. I don't know if I'm saying it right to them. But I'm wondering sometimes, am I just saying, going through the mechanics of saying the rosary and not really meaning it? You know, I ask as I pray the rosary for her to intervene for me with Jesus and send me the grace of love and faith, my heart that's bigger than a mountain, you know? And I'm just, you answered a lot of what I was wondering in the beginning, but I even bought a book about Mary that says True Devotion to Mary by St. Louis de Montfort. And it says in here, I stopped reading it, I brought it to my priest's attention, chapter 1, page 10, it says, Mary, being altogether transformed into God by grace. And that scared me, and I just stopped reading it because I felt like I'm, idol worshiping almost, you know, and worshiping Mary as a God.
Well, Billy, first of all, thank you for calling. And I really, really do want to commend you on several levels. First and primarily for the fact that you desire to pray the rosary well. The very fact that you are desiring to enter more deeply into the sacred mysteries of the rosary is an indication to me of the fervency of your heart and the beauty and splendor of the work that God is doing in you. You would never, first of all, pick up the beads and start to pray them if you were not looking for a deeper relationship with the Lord. And the fact that you want to pray it well and you want to enter in as deeply as you possibly can is truly a sign that the Holy Spirit is at work in you. So I want to affirm that because I want to give you the assurance of the fact that just as Saint, I always want to canonize Father Gabriel, Saint Mary Magdalene, he's not a saint, but just as he's saying in here, you know, the work of God is very subtle and we don't often see it. And this is why it's always good to have a spiritual advisor or a spiritual director who can point it out to us. So in a certain sense, I'm being a spiritual companion in this moment. I want you to know that you are in a good place. Let's talk about St. Louis because he's my guy. I love St. Louis de Montfort. True Devotion is a fantastic book. John Paul II talks about the fact that it completely changed his perspective of his priesthood, and he read from it every single night, and I can very easily clear this concern up for you. And I can answer a question for you when you say, I'm not even sure that I know what love is. I can tell you definitively what love is, because St. John in his epistle tells us what love is. He says, God is love. God is love. So when we say that you want to be more loving, you know, that's an outgrowth of love. To be loving, to display love comes from having love. What you're saying is that you want the God life in you, right? That's what you're saying. I want to love, and we're called to love. Jesus tells us we're called to love. That means we're called to be filled with God. And the Blessed Virgin Mary, greater than any human person who has ever lived and will ever live, was filled to overflowing with a God life. She is full of grace. And what is grace? Grace, defined by the Catechism, is a participation in the very life of God. It's our participating in the life of God because the God life is in us and participating in us and through us. So note what Louis says. He says that Mary, being altogether transformed into God by grace. Note that last two words, by grace. How is Mary transformed altogether into God? By grace, not by nature. big difference. Jesus Christ is true God and true man by nature. Mary is not altogether transformed by God by nature, but by grace. What is grace? The God life living in us. It's a participation of the very life of God. So Mary, what is Louis saying? Mary is altogether transformed into the image of God by grace. And we're all called to that because we are all created in the image and likeness of God. Genesis 1, verse 27. Let us create man in our image, in the divine image. He created him, male and female. He created them. We're created in the image. The more and more that we give the territory of our being over to God, the more and more profound our fiat becomes, the more surrendered we become, the more the God life comes into us and takes up residence within us until we are transformed and by that, you know, become a living image of not God, but the living image of God. I'll say one other thing on that as well. There's a beautiful verse in 2 Corinthians, I believe it's 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. Well, let's do 17 first. Verse 17. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And then it says, all of us gazing on the Lord's glory with unveiled faces are being transformed from glory to glory into his very image by the Lord, who is the Spirit. So let's just take that verse and let's just, you know, open it up a little bit. Let's unpack it a tad. All of us. Now note the use of that word all. That means no one is excepted from this. Every single one of us. All of us gazing on the Lord's glory. Now, where, Billy, do we see the Lord's glory? What do we gaze on that is truly the Lord?
Jesus Christ.
That's right. In the Blessed Sacrament, right?
Yeah.
So it says, all of us gazing on the Lord's glory with unveiled faces. Now, what does Paul mean by a veiled or an unveiled face? A veiled face is one where we're hiding something or we're keeping something. We're not giving everything. So what Paul is saying is that as we're gazing on the glory of the Lord, and certainly before the Blessed Sacrament, when we can be with him and he's exposed or even reposed, but also just in the inner being of our soul. And this is one way that you can really enter into the rosary here. Let me digress for a moment. One way that you can really enter in is this, Billy. Just picture, you know, just use your imagination, the gift of the eye of faith, right? Just gaze and interiorly. If you're in the state of grace, heaven is in you. If you're in the state of grace, the God life is in you. Maybe not completely. You might not be full of grace, but the God life is in you. That means that our Lord Jesus Christ is in you. Just picture him. Picture that your heart is an altar. And there is Jesus in the monstrance on the altar of your heart. And as you pray those sacred mysteries, just gaze upon that image of Jesus in the monstrance on the altar of your heart. Right? Mystically, you are gazing on the glory of the Lord. You are gazing on the God life who is in you. So Paul says, all of us gazing on the Lord's glory. And why don't you just try to do that now? I'm doing it now as I'm speaking with you. And friends, why don't you do it too? All of us gazing on the Lord's glory. Now, we don't want to hide anything. We want to be completely open, completely vulnerable to the Lord. So allow the Holy Spirit now to bring into your mind any area of your heart that you might be holding on to, any area of your heart that you wouldn't want God to see. Maybe it's a past sin that you haven't confessed. Maybe it's a habit of sin that troubles you. Maybe Maybe it's a wound of the heart that is so awful, you don't want to reveal it even to the Lord because that means that you'll see it again and it hurts too much. Paul says, no, relinquish all of it. Unveil it. Let the Spirit of the living God come into that very place as you're gazing upon his glory there on the altar of your heart. All of us gazing on the Lord's glory with unveiled faces. And even if you don't know, say to the Holy Spirit, you know, maybe there's a part of me that I'm not really surrendered, but I don't know what it is. So I want to surrender it now, even though I don't know what it is. We don't always have to know. All of us gazing on the Lord's glory with unveiled faces. And even in this act, know what the verse says. All of us gazing on the Lord's glory with unveiled faces are being transformed. So even in this moment, Billy, where you and I and all of our listeners are coming together, going through this little prayerful exercise, we are in this moment being transformed from one glory to the next, from glory to glory, into his very image by the Lord, who is the Spirit. It's the work of God in us, just as it was the work of God in Mary. So Mary, being altogether transformed, because she held nothing back, into God by grace, you and I too are called to be transformed into God by grace, meaning that we reflect the God life. Mary says, my soul magnifies the Lord. In other words, Mary becomes the lens, like my reading glasses, through which we see the God life more clearly. And that's what we want. It's the life of God in her that's reflected. It's not Mary, God. It's Mary with a God life so full, occupying every territory of her, that she reflects the glory of God. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. So, that was a really long explanation. Does it help you, Billy?
Yes. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Don't be afraid of St. Louis de Montfort. He's going to take you places. God bless you, Billy. Billy was listening to us there in New Orleans, Louisiana, via Catholic Community Media. You know, this is the thing. You know, when we sit and we really allow ourselves to be open to the working of the Holy Spirit, even if it doesn't come in that moment, later, you know, we'll see the fruit. We'll see the fruit of that effort. Clint, in it looks like it's Chalice, Idaho, called and asked, in this day and age, is concubinage moral in any circumstances? Absolutely not. It will never be okay. It's an abomination to the Lord. You know, I mean, I don't know, Clint. You know, why would you think it's okay now if it wasn't okay in Jesus' time? God's law is the same yesterday, today, and forever, folks. It's not going to change just because the mores of our day and time change, right? Our day and time has got to come into conformity with the will of God, not the will of God coming into conformity with our day and time. We get it backwards. That's the hubris. That's the arrogance of our day. that is the resistance of the soul to the things of the Lord. And I'll tell you what, God is not going to knock that down. You got it. You got to allow him to knock it down. He's not going to come and trespass your free will. So open yourselves up to the Spirit of the living God. Remember what 2 Corinthians 3:17 says. I believe it says, and I keep saying, I believe it's 2 Corinthians. I'm just about positive it is. It's not 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 3:17, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Not the spirit of the age, not the spirit of the world, not the spirit of our current time. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Otherwise, we find ourselves in bondage. We find ourselves in bondage to sin. We don't want to be in bondage. We want to have that freedom of the Lord, that freedom of the Lord that leads us unto light and eternal life. Well, there you have it. It's been great being with you today. I am looking forward to the opportunity to be with you again tomorrow. So we look forward to that. Eager to hear from you. Until then, get out to our website, womenofgrace.com. See what's going on there. We are eager to have you join us for an event. It's been great being with you. And until we are together again, may the abundant life of Jesus Christ be yours. And may God richly bless you. Bye-bye now.